This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
أم حسبت أن أصحاب الكهف والرقيم كانوا من آياتنا عجبا
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وترى الشمس إذا طلعت تزاور عن كهفهم ذات اليمين وإذا غربت تقرضهم ذات الشمال وهم في فجوة من ذلك من آيات الله من يهدي الله فهو المهتد ومن يضلل فلن تجد له وليا مرشدا صدق الله العظيم. We concluded verse number 16 in which the youth entered the cave. And we asked the question at the concluding sentiments of the previous segment that what were the arrangements in terms of food, drinks, etc. And the answer was provided or again, you know, implied, and we need to labor this point, that whatever Allah has tasked you to do, do it immediately. Make the move. You are sitting in a group of people where the verses of Allah are being mocked at. Stand up and move away. No, but where must I go? What must I do? Stand up and go away. That's a verse of the Quran. وَإِذَا رَأَيْتَ الَّذِينَ يَخُوضُونَ فِي آيَاتِنَا. Today you might say, I don't have to go into a cave. That's not the case. But yes, sometimes it's a social gathering. Sometimes it's a barbecue. Sometimes it's a family reunion. And then unfortunately, some people become blasphemous. They make comments and remarks in supposed jest. But that's not jest. That's not jest, my brother. قُلْ أَبِاللَّهِ وَآيَاتِهِ وَرَسُولِهِ كُنْتُمْ تَسْتَهْزِئُونَ. Ask them, are you mocking with Allah? Are you scoffing with His Prophet? Are you showing disregard to the verses of the Quran? لَا تَعْتَذِرُوا لَا تَعْتَذِرُوا. Don't make lame excuses. قَدْ كَفَرْتُمْ قَدْ كَفَرْتُمْ. This has revealed disbelief. This has revealed disbelief. Of course, the context of this was the munafiqeen on the occasion of Tabuk, where they mocked at certain companions, radiyallahu anhum. So make the move. You can see it's wrong. You have to stand up. You cannot be part of it. You cannot be part of it. وَإِذَا رَأَيْتَ الَّذِينَ يَخُوضُونَ فِي آيَاتِنَا فَأَعْرِضْ عَنْهُمْ حَتَّى يَخُوضُوا فِي حَدِيثٍ غَيْرِ. That when you observe people are mocking and scoffing, then move away until they engage in something else. وَإِمَّا يُنْسِيَنَّكَ الشَّيْطَانُ فَلَا تَقْعُدْ بَعْدَ الذِّكْرَى. And if you forgot and you sat down, then as soon as you recall, hey, what am I listening to? What is this discussion all about? Stand up and move away. When you move away, you'll see how others will join you, how the message will gain strength, momentum, and clout, and you'll have confidence, and Allah will pave the way. They've moved away. They've got to the cave. They've entered the cave. We've debated the potential geographical locations of the cave. Okay, they've entered the cave now. So linguistically, we spoke about kahf meaning a wide cave, a spacious cave, you know, in which there is movement. I mean, I've visited caves here in South Africa. I've visited caves in the Caribbean. Generally, when you go to Barbados, then there's two things that's a must. They take you to the caves there, and of course, they take you on the submarine. And I'm sure many of us have visited different caves in different parts of the world. Some of us have also, alhamdulillah, visited Ghar-e Hira and climbed up and visited that blessed, sacred cave in which the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam would go in isolation, and he would spend time there and he would worship Allah in accordance to the teachings of Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam, which had been transmitted over the passage of time until, of course, revelation came to him sallallahu alayhi wasallam himself. And many of us had also seen Ghar-e-Thawr, where the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam had taken shelter with Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu on the journey of Hijrah. So they have entered the cave. Now the Quran speaks about another miracle that occurs here, how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protects them. The first thing that happened as they got into the cave, to rewind to the verse that we did before, ضربنا على آذانهم في الكهف سنين عددا. we cast the veil of sleep on their ears. So sometimes you're traveling and you're extremely hungry and extremely tired, and the options of halal food are very limited. And divinely, Allah blesses you with sleep, which has a dual benefit. A, you were exhausted, so you needed to be rejuvenated. But coupled with that, the fatigue was so intense that momentarily it actually covered your hunger, and you just slept away, and the night passed through. And in the morning when you got up, there was arrangements in place, and there was a restaurant, and there was a brother, and things could happen. And then subhanAllah, you realize that how that sleep brought about a dual benefit. In the campaign of Badr, the place where the Sahaba were, Badr, by the way, is the name of a well. Badr, by the name, is the name of a well. So where the companions, radiyallahu anhum, were based, it was dusty. There was a lot of sand, and the sand was, scattered, and it was flying around in the atmosphere. While the grounds and the plains on which the opponents were was quite firm and strong. And so they had easier movement, because if something is dusty, to move in it is difficult. You walk at the beach and you know how your foot, just slips inside, and you cannot move swiftly across because the ground is not firm. It's soft. And the night preceding the campaign, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent down rain. So now logically you wishing, I wish we had that side of it. You're on an advantage location. We are on a disadvantaged location. Sometimes in an aircraft, you're passing over a particular place, and those that are sitting on the right side manage to get the view. Those that are sitting on the left side don't get the view. Often when we are in flying in Africa, in East Africa, and you're doing the hop from Mombasa back to Nairobi, then you fly over Mount Kilimanjaro, the highest mountain in Africa, right? And then again, if you're on the right side of the aircraft, then you get a chance to look at it. And many other places when you're traveling, then the pilot from the flying deck will give you the announcement. And, if you're on the right side, you have a view. But subhanAllah, look at the intervention. Sahaba other side, the enemies are on the other side. Allah sends down rain. The benefit of the rain was for the companions. Now the ground became firm. The disbelievers had access to water. The Sahaba didn't have access to water. And some Sahaba had the need of performing a ghusl as well, as reference according to one commentary of the ayah, which I will just touch on briefly now. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that, and remember that time, وَيُنَزِّلُ عَلَيْكُم مِّنَ السَّمَاءِ إِذْ يُغَشِّيكُمُ النُّعَاسَ أَمَنَةً مِّنْكُمْ. Allah gave sleep to some of you. Allah gave sleep and slumber. So that came as a rescue and it helped you. So this is it. When humans think, then you think, within the box. People say you need to be innovative and you must have al-afkar kharij al-sunduq, thoughts outside the box, something great, unique, amazing, phenomenal. So when we think of a plan or an idea or a strategy, we limited to the bare resources that we have. We never think beyond, because it's unimaginable something like this can happen. But lo and behold, things have happened and the world has changed and so many things have happened differently. Anyway, the rain comes down. إِذْ يُغَشِّيكُمُ النُّعَاسَ أَمَنَةً مِّنْ. When Allah gave you sleep as a source of safety and security. Nu'as, sleep and slumber. وَيُنَزِّلُ عَلَيْكُم مِّنَ السَّمَاءِ مَاءً. This is the verse of the 9th juz, Suratul Anfal. And Allah sends down water for you. وَيُنَزِّلُ عَلَيْكُم مِّنَ السَّمَاءِ مَاءً لِيُطَهِّرَكُمْ بِ. Through which you can gain your purity, you can perform your wudu and your ablution. وَيُذْهِبَ عَنْكُمْ رِجْزَ الشَّيْطَانِ. And to drive away the impurity of the devil. Some scholars have interpreted this portion of the ayah to say that certain companions had the need of a mandatory ritual ghusl, and now with the ease of water, they could perform that ghusl as well. وَيُنَزِّلُ عَلَيْكُم مِّنَ السَّمَاءِ مَاءً لِيُطَهِّرَكُمْ بِهِ وَيُذْهِبَ عَنْكُمْ رِجْزَ الشَّيْطَانِ وَلِيَرْبِطَ عَلَىٰ قُلُوبِكُمْ وَيُثَبِّتَ بِهِ الْأَقْدَامِ. And now this gave strength and it empowered your hearts and it kept your feet firm, literally as well, figuratively as well. So now your grounds were better. Access to water was good. Sleep gave you strength. You had the opportunity of performing ablution. That same rain that now came on the other side left the ground there muddy because the surface was firm. And now because of the water, it became muddy. So Allah didn't, change the locations of the companions, but one rain changed the demographics of the plain. One rain turned it completely around. Now it was difficult for them, it was cumbersome for them because it was muddy and it wasn't, movement was not so easy. So they went into the cave. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave them a sleep. And again, I want to say to my young brother and my young sister, because unfortunately recreational drugs has not, differentiated between gender and age. It has just destroyed. The scourge of these drugs is just horrific. It's just horrendous. I have sat with so many youth, unfortunately, who has succumbed. Empires have crumbled. Marriages have broken. Children have been left without parents. And it's really a nightmare. Leave alone being suicidal, I've met with kids who unfortunately orchestrated murdering their own parents. Why? Because of being under the influence of these drugs. May Allah protect one and all. May Allah protect one and all. And can you imagine an industry that is trying to generate revenue out of destroying the fabric of society? Like how more wicked can an individual be to sit and eat money through which you have earned the curses of people? But that's the brutal truth, and that's the painful reality. That you know what? If revenue can be generated, tough luck of the consequences out there. So you that want to get an ecstasy and happiness and want to drown their grief and their sorrow, look at these youth. You want to sleep, and you want a peaceful sleep, and you want a tranquil sleep, and you want to rejuvenate in sleep. You obey Allah. Allah will give you peaceful sleep. Allah will give you that divine, serene feeling. Allah will give you that inner comfort. So let's go straight on to the verse, verse number 17, in terms of the intervention of these youth. So they've entered, Allah's given them the sleep. Now arrangements in finer details of the sleep. So sometimes you could be sleeping, but you're not in the most comfortable posture. So you're on top of one another, kids in the back seat, he's on top of me, and this one's on top of that one. And you know what? It's a common argument between kids in the back seat. This happens all the time. The dad hopped into the car and he told the kids, listen, don't ask me when we arrive in at the destination. We'll only get there when it's dark. So one of them is like, dad, how long left for it to get dark? How long left for it to get dark? Right? It's a long journey. What they say, don't hop into your vehicle unless each child has a window. This is, of course, when kids are small. So now they're on top of each other. But if you're traveling in a spacious car or in a spacious, caravel or something that the seats are reclining or revolving, then it's much more easy and spacious. So you could be sleeping, but it's not a comfortable sleep. Person in first class is also sleeping, and the person in the economy class is also sleeping. But there's a big difference between the sleep of the two. Yeah, you're sleeping on each other, and then somebody gets up at night, and then the food tray is there, and then a person needs to open the cabin above him, and then you know what, the queues at the lavatories are long, versus the first class where there's just minimum people with a cabin crew attending one to every two people. The difference. Anyway, let's look at the sleep that Allah gave them and the intervention. وَتَرَى الشَّمْسَ إِذَا طَلَعَتْ تَزَاوَرُ عَنْ كَهْفِهِمْ. My word. وَأَنْ تَرَى, you would observe. الشَّمْسَ, the sun. إِذَا طَلَعَتْ, when it rises. So the early morning sun, the rising sun, the eastern rays of the sun. وَتَرَى الشَّمْسَ, and O مُخَاطَب, O onlooker, O listener. وَتَرَى الشَّمْسَ, and you would observe the early morning sun, the rising sun, the eastern rays of the sun. إِذَا طَلَعَتْ, when it rises. تَزَاوَرُ عَنْ كَهْفِهِمْ. تَزَاوَرُ عَنْ كَهْفِهِمْ. So basic Arabic grammar here, زَارَ يَزُورُ زَوْرًا, means to visit. Ziyara, you know, is a common word. Let's go for ziyara, visiting, ziyara. Then when you have the proverb, you have, you know, a mudari, tazawara, yatazawaru, tazawuran. In the context here, it is tatazawar. And when you take it into the context in which it appears here in the Quran, then it is from Babi Mufa'ala, tazawara, yatazawaru, tazawuran. Means to mutually visit each other. So that's the speciality of the Bab of Mufa'ala. Basic etymology and sarf will give you those indications at a very elementary level, nothing too complex. Tazawara, so the root word is ziyara. Ziyara means to visit. You take it into the form of tazawaraya, and then one ta bi hasfi ihda ta'ain, one ta has been dropped off, grammar language here. So tatazawaru means to mutually meet each other. However, if this word tazawara is followed by the word an, which we say the sila is an, then it means to divert, not to meet, but to avoid. So in other words, it creates the opposite meaning. And in the Arabic language, there are too many words like this here. For example, raghiba means to incline. Raghibtu ilayk, I'm inclining towards you. Raghibtu ila ta'am, I'm feeling to eat. Raghibtu anit ta'am, I'm disinclining. So after raghiba, if it's followed by an, then it means to disincline. Da'utu lak, da'a is followed by lam, it means to pray. Da'a is followed by ala, it means to curse. Da'utu lak, I prayed for you. Da'utu alayk, I cursed upon you. One scholar gave it very beautiful for the, you know, English audience. Like if a person is learning English, you're learning the word responsible. So responsible is good. It's a great meaning. He's a responsible person. But then if you precede it by IR, then it has the opposite meaning, irresponsible. Competent is a great word. He's a competent person. He's a skilled person. But then if you put IN, incompetent. So it's the direct opposite. So in a like manner, if it's followed or preceded or in a particular context, it changes the meaning. So anyway, you would see the early morning sun, the rising sun, tazawaru an kahfihim, declining from their cave. Wa idha gharabat, and you will see the evening sun, gharabat, when it sets, when it goes down on the western horizon, taqriduhum dhat al-shimal, avoiding them towards the left. Avoiding the cave and going towards the left, right? So the morning sun would decline and go towards the right. The evening sun would go towards the left, avoiding the cave again. وَهُمْ فِي فَجْوَةٍ مِّنْ While they rest in a spacious portion. So there's two explorations to this here. One is that the cave was positioned in such a way that they were rescued and protected and shielded from the rays of the morning sun or the rays of the evening sun. You would agree with me, my brother and my sister, that human nature, when you sleep in, you generally like darkness, you like cover, you like things to be somewhat, you know, covered and concealed. I remember when we were studying and midday sleep and siesta was an absolute necessary thing, then we would put the curtains and you would cover the windows and create a night-like atmosphere. In the plains, on the cabins, they have the star-like image, you know what? Almost like stars and constellation. And on these long halls, after they give you the first service that is done, and then they kind of shut down the cabin, lights are off, shutters are closed, and they give you this good 5-6 hours for everyone to sleep. Now, while you're in that deep sleep, if some insensitive person decides to open up the shutter for whatever reason, it can be so frustrating and annoying. And I can tell you out of experience, being, you know, a seasoned traveler, that it can be so annoying. Now, he's occupied the seat adjacent to the window. Some of us probably need to eat or read. There's a light above you. There's a light behind you. There's a light in the panel. There's different lights. But if you open that shutter, that sun rays can be quite disturbing to anyone and everyone. A mother is so protective over her child. When the little one is sleeping, especially it's the first child, you know what, the curtains are down, the doorbell is off, the phone is off, everybody is put on protocol, be soft, be gentle, be polite. The baby is sleeping, the little one is sleeping, we don't want him to be disturbed, we don't want her to be disturbed. Look at the intervention of Allah for the accommodation of the sleep of these people. They've entered this cave. وَهُمْ فِي فَجْوَةٍ مِّنْ They were in the wide, spacious, broad place. So they were not in any position of discomfort. Sometimes you can fall into deep sleep, but your position is not good. And then when you get up, you have aches and you have pains. And then, you know what, you had a good sleep, but then your body is aching. No, no. وَهُمْ فِي فَجْوَةٍ مِّنْ They were in the broadest section of this cave. وَتَرَى الشَّمْسَ And you would observe, إِذَا طَلَعَتْ The rising sun, تَزَاوَرُ عَنْ كَهْفِهِمْ That it would decline of from the cave going towards the right. وَإِذَا غَرَبَتْ And when the sun would set. So neither the early morning rays nor the evening rays would disturb them. One argument is the position of the cave was such that the sun rays did not enter it. The other argument or the other exploration of scholars is there's no need to sit and give perspective to the position or the dynamics or the location of the cave that how was it possible? It was a miracle. It was a miracle. So ordinarily, commonly, averagely, the way the cave was positioned, the sun ought to disturb them and hit them bright in their eyes, either in the morning or the evening. And that's quite disturbing. But because Allah had decreed and determined and ordained a prolonged sleep with ease and comfort and no disturbance to that sleep, miraculously Allah made it such that the sun would avert, divert, decline, move around the cave and not interfere with the sleep of these youth who were the sage of the age and who were the saints of the Almighty. Simply because of their obedience to Allah. That was the intervention that Allah made for them. Subhanallah. ذَلِكَ مِنْ آيَاتِ اللَّهِ These are the signs of Allah. In Ruhul Ma'ani, Allama Alusi Baghdadi says, what is the reference to these are the signs of Allah? The courage of these youth, the resilience of these youth, the passion of these youth, the unwavering submission of these youth, and how nature intervened for them. ذَلِكَ مِنْ آيَاتِ اللَّهِ And yet I came across another exploration of blocking out the sunlight, that the wisdom of that was also فَقَدْ ذَكَرُوا أَنَّ الظُّلْمَ تُعِينُ عَلَى جَمْعِ الْحَوَاسِ فَقَدْ ذَكَرُوا أَنَّ الظُّلْمَةَ تُعِينُ عَلَى جَمْعِ الْحَوَاسِ وَالْفِكْرِ That often darkness helps you to meditate, to reflect, to introspect. If it's light and it's bright and it's noisy, then it can have its own sense of disturbance. وَمِنْ هَا هُنَا تَرَى أَنَّ أَهْلَ الْخَلْوَةِ تَرَى أَنَّ أَهْلَ الْخَلْوَةِ يَخْتَارُونَ لِخَلَوَاتِهِمْ مَكَانًا قَلِيلَ الضِّيَاءِ وَمِنْ هَا هُنَا تَرَى أَنَّ أَهْلَ الْخَلْوَةِ يختارون لخلواتهم مكانا قليل الضياء ومع ذلك منهم من يغمض عيونهم You would find when people want to make muraqaba, they want to reflect, right? We've been told and taught, reflect over death, sit and ponder, find a place of isolation. So to help you in a place of isolation, in a place of solitude, in a place of reflection, in a place of silence, generally to complement the ambience and to complement that atmosphere, it's also a place of darkness. It's a place of silence. It just allows you, jam'ul hawas, wal afkar, you can gather, you can process, you can think, you can apply, you can meditate, you can reflect at length. And generally, I'm not saying it's not possible, you would observe in many of the masajid in the month of Ramadan, when the Taraweeh prayer commences, then many of the huffaz, those leading the prayer, prefer that the lights are dim. And it just allows you a deeper flow and enjoyment and ecstasy in Quran. It's permissible with the lights on, but you would observe in many a masajid, local and abroad, this has been my observation. It kind of just, you know what, dims the place and allows you. You're having a dua and you're crying to Allah when it's solitude and it is dhulma, it's dark. It just gives you that, different feeling and that different closeness, etc. So this is also mentioned in the books of tafsir, which I've come across. ومنها هنا ترى أن أهل الخلوة يختارون لخلواتهم مكانا قليل الضياء. So anyway, that's verse number 17. ذلك من آيات الله. These are the signs of Allah. And then how does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala conclude it? من يهدي الله فهو المهتد. Whomsoever Allah guides, he is the guided one. ومن يضلل. And whom Allah deviates and misleads. فَلَن تَجِدَ لَهُ وَلِيًّا مُرْشِدًا. Then you will not find a guiding friend for him. So that's the sovereignty of Allah. That's the independence of Allah. But let me explain as well and expound on it, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will never deny you guidance if you seek it. So it's a verse of the 25th juz of the Quran in Surah Shura, in which Allah says, Allahu yajtabi ilayhi man yasha wa yahdi ilayhi man yunib. One speaks about the prerogative of Allah and the other speaks about the justice of Allah. The prerogative of Allah is, I can select whomsoever I wish. I want to make someone a prophet, I will make him a prophet. I want to make someone, bless him with some favor. That's my choice. الله يجتبي إليه من يشاء الله يصطفي من الملائكة رسلا ومن الناس. And I mean, we've spoken many a times about the harms of jealousy. Someone said a very beautiful thing. They say that a jealous friend is a dangerous enemy. A jealous friend is a dangerous enemy. And yet someone else said that jealousy is a disease. Get well soon. Jealousy is a disease, get well soon. And Imam Abu Hamid Ghazali said that a miser is really wicked, but worse than a miser is a jealous person, because a miser is withholding what's in his pocket, while a jealous person wants to withhold what Allah has. It's in the treasures of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah says, man is a miser. قُلْ لَوْ أَنْتُمْ تَمْلِكُونَ خَزَائِنَ رَحْمَةِ رَبِّي إِذَا لَأَمْسَكْتُمْ خَشْيَةَ الْإِنْفَاقِ وَكَانَ الْإِنسَانُ قَتُورًا. A verse of the 15 juz of the Quran, chapter number 17, Bani Israel, say unto them, if you had access to the treasures of Allah, which are infinite, you would mine in those treasures of Allah as well. So anyway, may Allah save us from jealousy. So one is the prerogative of Allah. He can guide, he can favor, he does what he wants. But the justice of Allah is, وَيَهْدِي إِلَيْهِ مَنْ يُنِيبُ, that he will guide whomsoever turns to him. So if you call out to him, He will answer, he will respond, he will grant it to you. And the scholars say that every dua you make could be answered in different ways. Could be answered in the sense that Allah diverts a calamity, or Allah answers your request, or Allah stores it for you in akhirah. But there's one dua that if you ask Allah, it has to be answered, and it will be answered. And if anybody asks, it will be given to him. And it will be answered in this world, guaranteed. And what is it? That is the honest, earnest, genuine, sincere call, request, prayer, supplication for guidance. If you asked Allah sincerely, honestly, I want guidance. Read the tale and the narrative of Salman radiallahu anhu, where to. And ultimately, he becomes a great companion of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So Allah says, مَنْ يَهْدِ اللَّهُ فَهُوَ الْمُهْتَدِ. When Allah guides, then that person is guided. وَمَنْ يُضْلِلْ. And if Allah misguides and Allah misleads you, فَلَنْ تَجِدَ لَهُ وَلِيًّا مُرْشِدًا, then you will not find a guiding friend or a helper for that person. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us amongst those fortunate souls who are guided by His guidance. And remember, the stage of guidance continues. When Makkah was conquered, Allah said, we conquered it for you, لِيَهْدِيَكَ صِرَاطًا مُسْتَقِيمًا, to guide you on the straight path. إِنَّا فَتَحْنَا لَكَ فَتْحًا مُبِينًا لِيَغْفِرَ لَكَ اللَّهُ مَا تَقَدَّمَ مِنْ ذَنْبِكَ وَمَا تَأَخَّرَ وَيُتِمَّ نِعْمَتَهُ عَلَيْكَ وَيَهْدِيَكَ, to guide you, The Prophet ﷺ was the most guided human. With the help of Allah, he was guiding others. وَإِنَّكَ لَتَهْدِي إِلَى صِرَاطٍ مُسْتَقِيمٍ, meaning showing the straight path. But what do the scholars tell us? There are phases, there are stations of the straight path, and you continue ascending it and continue ascending it. So we'll end on this note, and the next verse takes the mystery on a deeper level. This verse spoke about how the sun was diverted to accommodate the sleep of these youth. The next verse speaks about how miraculously Allah intervened so that the termites of the ground don't eat on their corpse because they were sleeping for 3 centuries. So no bed bugs trouble them. Many times a person is bed bound, and may Allah grant shifa to one and all. But then you have bed sores and bed bugs and so many other related challenges. Wait and see how there is yet another intervention to preserve their bodies and yet allow them deep and sound sleep. May Allah grant us the true love of the Quran and endow us with His obedience. Ameen ya Rabbil Alameen. Wa salli Allahumma wa sallim ala Nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in. Walhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen.